Well, good morning and welcome to another session over the internet as we continue meeting remotely as a church family. And today we're going to be taking a look as we continue on in the Sermon on the Mount with a sermon entitled, Where is Your Treasure? As we take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Before we begin, as we always do, let's bow for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day, and Lord, as we are gathering around your word all over the globe, as we gather together as your church, Lord, and two, I think about our local group of believers, those that come to Ellington Baptist Church, Lord, I'm thankful for each and every one of them. And as they hear this teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, which your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, shared with the people on that day, Lord, I pray that it would be a message that will challenge us, that it will impact our lives, and that as a result we'll make some necessary changes that need to happen, as well as safeguards to keep us from going to the places we should not. And Lord, I ask that this would just be an encouraging time as we are challenged by your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we continue on in the Sermon on the Mount, we are transitioning here into another section as we take a look at actually three different things. When we look at our lives being single-minded in multiple ways, and today it's going to be in relation to where your treasure is. And so just by way of review, I'd like to go ahead and begin by reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So as we begin to take a look at this text, the first few things I want us to notice is that there are two treasures in these verses, as well as two outcomes. The first is treasures on earth, and you'll notice that the text says that the outcome of laying up for yourselves treasures on earth is that moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal. And that word rust there actually can be translated eating. So as we think about the things that we lay up here on earth as treasures, which we'll unpack a little bit more, because immediately the first thing that comes to mind is that of wealth or money, and it's so much more than that. But the caution being that the outcome of our focus being on those types of treasures is that things are going to come and take them away from us. As it speaks to moths and rust, which both eat possessions. And it was common for people to have some of their wealth shown in the clothes that they wore. And so moth eating their clothes they could not protect from, as well as rust destroying all kinds of other things as it eats away at the goodness that's there. And, of course, we know a thief can break in and steal practically anywhere. If given the right opportunity. But there's a second treasure. It says treasures in heaven. And we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven because neither moth nor rust destroys. And thieves do not break in and steal. And the reason for that is because this is God's abode. This is where God is in eternity. And he is the one that is guarding these treasures. And no one is going to take away from the God who made us. And so as we take a look at these two different treasures and the two different outcomes, it's going to cause us to reflect on what we actually treasure. But you'll notice a couple other things, too, that I want to point out is that there are two hearts and two attitudes towards these possessions. As you notice there in verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart, as we know and we've studied and made reference to before, is the center of our character. It controls the intellect, the emotions, and the will. And as we take a look at this, it says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we know earlier on, Jesus has spoken to the heart, being that the center of our character. But here, as we take a look at verse 21, the location of our treasure actually indicates where our heart is already. And there are two different types of hearts. There's a selfish heart, which results in or has an attitude that is sinful and all about itself. Or there is another heart that is a selfless heart, a heart that has a pure attitude, that has the idea of honoring God in what they have. And the thing that we'll learn in relation to this treasure is, based off of verse 21 as well, is that your heart and therefore your treasure as well can only be in one place. You can't store up treasure here on earth as well as in heaven at the same time. You can only do one or the other. And what Jesus is actually, you know, speaking to here is he's talking about these two different types of treasure, their outcomes, the two different types of heart that are represented here, as well as the attitudes that come out of those hearts. Jesus is really addressing the issue of selfishness. And you'll notice there that it actually is an exhortation. It says, lay up, or it says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Or in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And actually the Greek word here for what's translated into English, lay up and treasures, is actually the same Greek root. So you can actually, well, before I tell you what you can actually translate it as, it actually comes from the Greek word that we get our English word thesaurus from. And so as you think about a thesaurus, it's a storehouse or a treasury of words. And I use a thesaurus every week as I'm preparing sermons, just trying to think of the right word to use and to know the meaning of words and their associations. And so as we take a look at this, knowing that this is the same Greek root word, you can actually translate, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, to do not treasure up treasures for yourself on earth. And the same is true in relation to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, can be translated treasure up treasures for yourself in heaven. And so that gives us a little bit better of an understanding as to what that lay up, as it's translated in English, actually means, is because we can treasure a treasure. And so as we speak to that, I want you to understand what treasure is and what treasure is not. And as I mentioned earlier, the first thing that comes to mind is material things in particular. When we think of treasure, we automatically think of treasure chests. Maybe some of you think about pirates. Whatever the case might be, you might think of Ebenezer Scrooge as he's counting his money and put him into stacks. But the truth is that in our Western culture, we have the propensity to pursue, to obtain, to relish, and to safeguard things. It's part of the makeup of the Western culture. And the thing is that we take a look at the United States and our culture that way, as we seek to pursue, obtain, to relish, and to safeguard things. This is really how the Pharisees were in Jesus' day. And Jesus is addressing this because he knows that the focus of the Pharisees, the religious leaders that are supposed to be leading the people and pointing them to the Lord, are actually pointing them towards the acquiring, the pursuing, the obtaining, the relishing of things, as opposed to honoring and serving the Lord. Now, we all have treasures in some shape or form. The first, as we think about treasures, we always think about possessions. And, you know, of course, money is the one that always comes to mind first and foremost, as well as belongings. Now, is it wrong to have money or belongings? The answer to that question is no, it's not. God has given us things to enjoy. And the thing, as you take a look at each of these treasures, is do you treasure those treasures above treasuring the Lord and laying up treasures in heaven with him? But we can even take it a little bit broader as we think about outside of money and belongings. You can treasure relationships. You can treasure your friends to the point where you spend time with your friends and that's all that you do. You can treasure family, where everything is about family and getting together with family. You can even treasure yourself and take a look in the mirror every day and say that you're the best looking and I love you for who you are. And that's me. And the thing is we take a look at the relationships that we have. Do you treasure those above treasuring things that pertain to God? Because is it wrong to have friends? Is it wrong to have family? Now, don't answer that question, because I know that some of you might say, yeah, yes, it is wrong to have some of my family. But, you know, is it wrong to take care of yourself and to love yourself because you're created in the image of God? And, of course, the answer to all those questions is it's absolutely all right for you to do that. But the question is, do you treasure that above treasuring your relationship with the Lord and laying up treasures in heaven with Him? But we can also have treasures in relation to our well-being. Think about it. We can treasure our health. When we are healthy and nothing hurts, nothing aches, when everything is going well, and we can, you know, continue to strive and beat our bodies into subjection, then the fact is that we are still getting older. And that health is not going to always be there. And we're not even guaranteed tomorrow. If we would have talked about this in relation to where we are right now, 4 months ago, there are many people that would never have thought that they would have gotten the coronavirus or that they would have actually died from it. And so is it okay to be healthy? Absolutely. If you treasure your health above everything else and treasure that above the Lord, then that is an unhealthy thing to treasure. But even in relation to our well-being, you can treasure freedom and think that unless you have freedom, that you are somehow having things taken away from you. And the thing is that do you treasure freedom above treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ? You can treasure memories and things that have happened in the past that you continue to hold on to. And you can even treasure the pets that you have, at the point where you spoil them to death and your life literally revolves around them, to the point where you're posting on social media and everything else. And again, these are all things that God has given us to enjoy. We enjoy it when we have good health, when we have the freedom that we enjoy in our country. We enjoy the fact that we have memories, that we can remember things. We enjoy the fact that we can have pets. The question is, do you treasure them above treasuring the Lord and things that pertain to Him? One other area that you, in relation to things that you can treasure, because again, you need to think outside of the box of money and belongings, and that's in relation to your abilities. Some people treasure knowledge so much that all they live about, all they are concerned about is continuing to learn and to know, and to gain knowledge as much as they possibly can. And something else is your career. People can live for their careers to the point where they treasure that above all else at the expense of their own well-being, but also their family, their friends, and their life before the Lord. And so as we think about possessions, relationships, well-being, and abilities, all these things, if we have a wrong focus to where our focus is concentrated solely on those things, even though they're things that God has given us to enjoy, they can become detrimental to our walk with the Lord because they become basically an idol. They become something that we worship. And if we're not careful, they can actually pull us away from the Lord. Not because they're bad in themselves, because they're not. What's bad is the focus. What is bad is the decision to make that the focal point of everything that you are. And the thing is, too, if you think about this even a little bit farther, you can even treasure something that has no value to anyone else. It could be something very special that was given to you, that has been handed down from generation to generation, and you can value that to the point of actually making that an idol and treasuring it above the Lord as well. And something I need to point out here, too, is we take a look at this because as we're exhorted to lay up treasures in heaven as opposed to laying up treasures here on earth, is that laying up treasures in heaven is not for the purpose of winning, securing, or attaining your salvation in any way. The truth is we are justified by faith alone, and some have taken this passage wrongly and utilized it to show a works-based salvation, and our salvation is not based in works at all. Our salvation is based in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we just got done celebrating here last Sunday in relation to Easter. So with understanding what treasure is and what treasure is not, The thing that we need to keep in light as well in the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus has spoken about the kingdom of heaven. And the thing is we enjoy all the things that God has given to us. We need to make sure that we do not forget, and this is of supreme importance, that the kingdom of heaven is of immeasurable value. You cannot give it a dollar amount to it. You cannot give it, a time frame, because we're speaking to something that is eternal. It's greater than the buried treasure in the field, as Jesus shared the parable there. It's greater than possessing all the pearls in the world, because it is a pearl of great price, as it was speaking in relation to salvation. But when we think about the kingdom of heaven itself, it is greater than all of that. And it's something that you can never get enough of when it comes to honoring the Lord and His kingdom, because it's what you've been saved into because of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I've found that is a good test when we think about laying up treasures here on earth as opposed to laying up treasures in heaven is, what would others say is the things that you treasure the most? Because sometimes when we take a look at ourselves, we'd say, well, I really don't treasure that much. And the thing is, as you maybe change jobs and you come into a new situation, maybe you move to a new town, it's really easy for you to come into a situation and see things very easily that people that have been in that situation cannot see. When we think about the things that we treasure most, what would people say? What would people say that Pastor Bill treasures most? Because that's a good litmus test for us to see whether or not we're laying up treasures here on earth or whether or not we're laying up treasures in heaven. What would you say your ambitions, your interests, or your hopes are grounded in? Are they grounded in that next promotion at work? Are they grounded in the fact that you have good health? Are they grounded in the fact that you're continuing to become smarter than you were yesterday? Is it in money, or belongings that you're attaining to, that you're working all those extra hours so that you can actually, buy that next thing, that next, toy, that additional home, so that you can go here and there and everywhere? See, the thing is we think about laying up treasures on earth as well as opposed to heaven, is that we have to guard ourselves against lapses, because it happens so subtly. And that's part of the reason why, as we think about the Word of God and why Jesus is even addressing this, is that these things can come on just very slowly. It's like we mentioned the frog in the warming kettle. They don't realize that they're slowly being cooked to death. And that's how it is with treasures on earth, is that sometimes we start to invest, then we invest a little bit more, and then all of a sudden we find out that we need to give a little bit more time to this. And so where does the time get robbed from? And what can happen is that we can rob from God. We can rob ourselves of the joy of laying up treasures in heaven as opposed to here on earth. So as we finish out this section, I thought that the best thing to answer at this point is, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? Because that's really the real question. Because we know how to lay up treasures here on earth pretty easily. All you got to do is look at the things that you have ambitions for, your interests, your hopes, and it'll be a pretty quick study to that. But what does the Word of God have to say in relation to laying up treasures in heaven? How do we do it? Well, the overarching statement, the thing that is going to define four things I'm going to share with you, is the fact that if our focus is right, then everything else is going to fall into place. Because if our focus is where it needs to be, where it should be, then as we take a look at life, as we take a look at all the other things that God has given us to enjoy, they're all going to take their proper place as we honor God first. And that brings us to the first thing of, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? First, we need to treasure God most of all, using all that we have and enjoy for His glory. Because the Lord has blessed us. We are truly a blessed people in this country. We have a lot to enjoy. And the question is, do you treasure God most of all? Do you take everything that God has given you to enjoy? No matter how you may look at that, no matter how you may slice it, do you give it for His glory? Some questions you can ask yourself is, am I working first and foremost for His honor and His glory? Or is it all about me and what I want and my desires? Does my life first and foremost please God? Because again, the gifts are from God. They're there for our enjoyment, but is God first? Do we please God in everything that we do? Which brings me to 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Also Colossians chapter 3 verses 23 through 24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And this doesn't matter whether or not you are someone that's in full-time ministry. We are all called to work heartily for the Lord. We're not here to impress people. We're here to love and to enjoy and to honor and to glorify the Lord, because it is Him we are serving, because we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. So first, we need to treasure God most of all, using all we have and enjoy for His glory. Second, we need to see that we are strangers here. This is not our home. Matter of fact, we are constantly drawing closer to our eternal home. And we don't know when we will enter into that eternal home. And I appeal to Hebrews chapter 11 because I think that this great chapter of faith speaks directly to this, and it helps put everything in its place and in its perspective. In verse 10, it says, for he, and this is speaking of Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Jumping down to verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would not have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. See, as those that are living here, we need to understand is that this is not our home. This is the home of everyone who is an unbeliever, who lives for self, who is laying up treasures here on earth. For those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is basically the preparation for us to step into that eternal realm, that better country, a heavenly one. And when we do that, and when we see that, then again, our focus is in the right place, knowing that we are drawing closer to our eternal home. And then everything else will fall into place where it should. Third, we need to embrace that we are stewards of everything that we enjoy. And as we think about the biblical doctrine of stewardship, it actually defines our relationship to God, because it shows us that even everything that we enjoy does not truly belong to us. It's a gift from God. It is His. And we are just stewards. As you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, this is speaking in relation to the mysteries of God and being stewards of it. It says, this is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what I do as a pastor. That's what Pastor Caden does. But even still, as those that are believers in Jesus Christ, we are too bearers and stewards of the mysteries of God. And it says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And so as we think about living the Christian life, as we embrace the fact that everything we enjoy is truly a gift from God, then it is going to define a relationship, because it's going to be God first, and then everything that He's given us will fall underneath of that. You know, it has been well said, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. And when you think about that, and the picture that that draws, and I've seen many of hearse, I've participated in many funerals, and there's never been a U-Haul behind the hearse. And we know that the pharaohs of Egypt were buried with gold and treasures to take into the afterlife. But they left it all behind for archaeologists to find? No. The truth is, they couldn't take it with them. And that's why archaeologists are finding those treasures buried with those mummies even today. Listen to what G. Campbell Morgan said. He says, "The king warns his people against laying up for themselves earthly treasures. The master does not say it is wrong to possess earthly treasure. He does say it is wrong to lay it up for yourself. We are to hold it as stewards." So remember that everything that we enjoy, we are only a steward of, because it all comes from the Lord, and that we should be trustworthy in what God has given to us. And realize that as we treasure God first and foremost, that everything that we enjoy as stewards, when we in turn give them back to the Lord and do that for His glory and His honor, then we are doing exactly the thing we should, and our focus is right. And last, as we close, we must be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. And it's speaking to the rich in this present age. And before you discredit and think, well, I'm not rich. Yes, you are. We are rich people in many ways, not just financially, but we are rich as a country. We are rich in freedom. We are rich in the ability to move and to be and to go from point A to point B. So it says, "As for the rich in this present age," and that includes all of us, "charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Did you catch that? Charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, because remember, with riches, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but on God. Because God, no thief is going to steal from God. Nothing is going to eat away at what is invested with God. The one who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what of that which is truly life. See, the thing is, when we have everything in the correct order, when God is first, and when we are allowing everything else to fall into place, realizing that we are strangers here, that we are only stewards, that we are here for the purpose of doing good works, which the scriptures say have been prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, to be generous, be ready to share, that we are storing up treasure for ourselves on the only foundation we should. And that's a foundation that is in heaven. And you'll notice it says that they may take hold of that which is truly life. When everything is in order, when God is first and everything else falls into place, then that's when we truly know what life is. Because when we are laying up treasures here on earth, we're laying and investing in things that are temporal. Whereas when we switch and our focus is where it should be, and we understand that and we apply that and we make that part of who we are, then that's when we're truly going to experience the best life we can here on earth. See, we can use everything that we enjoy as a gift from God for kingdom purposes. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be money. It can be belongings. It can be friends, family, yourself, health, freedom, memories, pets, knowledge, career. You know, everything that you've been blessed with, everything that you've been given to enjoy, you can use for kingdom purposes. And so as we think about answering the question, where is your treasure? I know each and every one of us needs to constantly refocus, to constantly take and fix our gaze on those things which are eternal. Because this life does pull. It pulls us left, it pulls us right, it pulls us front and back, and takes our attention away from where it should truly be. And remember, if our focus is right, then everything else will fall into place. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this word from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And Lord, I pray that each and every one that is listening today would take to heart the importance of putting the focus of our lives in the right place. And that focus is treasuring you most of all. And as we step into this new week and as we find ourselves engaging the world in which we live, may we remember that we are just strangers here, that this is not our eternal home, and that we are stewards of everything that you have given to us, and that we should use everything that we have, every gift that comes from you, for kingdom purposes, just so that we can experience what is truly life, to be able to enjoy being a son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Lord, help us to keep our focus where it should be. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be the one to direct and to guide us and to cause us to stop when we are so subtly going the direction we should not. And, Lord, we thank you, and we'll give you the praise ahead of time for what you're going to do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.